Marianne Pedraski is a ghostbuster, a medium, and maybe not a ghostbuster, but she knows where they are, and a medium, and intuitive, and empath. She's done tons and tons of stuff, and I can have her explain more about what she has done. I've talked to her once before, so I kind of have a little bit more background, but some of the stuff we didn't cover last time, we're going to throw in this interview because there's just so much to talk about. It's hard to do it in one shot. And Marianne, I'm so glad you're available because I've got you for an hour.
Oh, woo.
I know.
Lucky me.
Yeah,
lucky
yeah, that's
you.
Right. That's right. I'm glad. So you can't go anywhere. All right. So
No. I've got my jammies on. I'm not going anywhere.
That's what I love about podcasting. It's on our own
that's
time.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, exactly. Okay. The deal is, though, when I first talked to you, you had some ghost pictures that you sent me, and I have shared some of those, not all of them, but some of them, and those are fantastic. There's one that, I'll get that one in just a minute. There's one where you show a staircase, and then the highlight is somebody walking in front, but what I also saw was an almost imperceptible going up the center of the staircase, and it could be just the way that the fractals, the images are caught on the camera, but there looks like there's something else there that's also, and they call it a shimmer or a pixelated image. And that to me is almost a hint of that going up the center of the stairs, where at the bottom along the front, there's actually, you can see the image of a person. Those are fantastic photos.
Yeah. I got lucky. I call it luck, but actually it's just being in the right place, the right time, and being able to know that something's here. I don't always catch a clear image, but I do catch a lot of energy, and it looks like the room is still, but you're spinning, and it's in one spot.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's motion blur without a reason, you know, right smack dab in the middle of stillness. So it does tend to make you feel like there's something going on right in front of you.
And I absolutely believe there are a lot of things going on right in front of us, but we don't have that perception, and this definitely not the visual ability to catch it with our eyes. We only catch a certain amount of the spectrum, so there's a whole lot out there that can slip by without us ever having a clue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The picture that you have, though, that one where the guy is crossing, it's unusual to be able to get those kinds of pictures. And that one, to me, was really a good indication that you have a good insight when you're in a place that is known to be haunted, to be able to be there, like you said, right place, right time. But to give people an idea of what it's like when you do capture a picture, it isn't just a little tiny ball of light like an orb. Those are more common, and they can be lots of different reasons. Some of them have, the ones that I've caught, there was one at a church, and it looked, with all the geometric designs in it, it wasn't a piece of dust. It looked like it was an intentional, like almost like an information chip. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the patterns, it's just the patterns that I saw in this thing, it was probably on the picture about a quarter size image, and it was just so fantastic to see those little designs in there. But with yours, an image of an actual person, it lets us, I think, give a have a better view of what other in.
Well, you can't fake that.
No,
you can't. You know, you can't fake it when you just happen to be someplace and nobody sees anything. My regular eyes don't see a darn thing, but my third eye is like thumping me, going, "Oh, there it is! There it is!" And it's, my systems have to work, and I like I said, I do get lucky, but I can usually walk into a building and feel like, okay, somebody just flipped my switch, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, you know, you're walking through mud, but there's no real mud there. Mm-hmm. You just kind of feel it. There's no way to describe it.
It's denser. It's
very physical.
I went to the Stanley Hotel, and I didn't go look for ghosts. I went because, and it was an interesting thing because I had a kind of a calling, a sense that I needed to do this. And when I did, the thing was, the friend I was with doesn't want anything to do with this. And it was so funny because then of course it dings you. If you're that big of a skeptic, then you get little things that other people don't get, you get tweaked. And so it was really funny that I walked in and he said, "Where's the restroom?" And immediately I was told where it was. And from then on, though, I had this encounter and this interaction with musical ghosts, and they were constantly, it was like the ballroom era of this dancing and this uplift. It was, they were happy, and I'm like, this is so amazing. It's so fun, and they sang and the whole nine yards. But what I was getting back with your picture, it's like you're tapping into that parallel world, that alternate universe, these other dimensions that are ongoing beside us. Their world isn't over. They're in a different element, place, room in reality that we're not able to access. But when you get that picture and the person is in their period clothing, to me it's like, hey, this is what intuitives are picking up on, that these other realities are right beside us and alongside us. Does that do you pick up on that?
Oh, absolutely. I do feel kind of like somebody has set my timer backwards. You know, it's kind of like you feel like you're in their multiple realities and not your own.
Yeah.
It's not 2020 anymore. It's like 1870 or whatever. Places that have had a whole lot of different uses,
mm-hmm.
like a building, you know, a building that's one thing and then another thing and then another thing. I can pick up the fact that there's all these different time slips.
Yeah.
I call them slips because of the ease that they go in and out. It's a hell of a lot harder for us,
mm-hmm.
but they just pop in and out, and it's basically, oh, that door's open. I'm going to go through that.
Yeah.
And I do pick up a lot of periods, and it's really cool when it's not our own, you know, then it's validation for me.
Yes. Yes. Well, and the other picture that I love is the one where you say it's a Civil War soldier behind you. You're in the mirror and you're taking a picture of what is potentially in front, behind. And in this image, there's a silhouette, this black shadow in the shape of a male. And that is also a fantastic image. Can you set up that one for us? There are other people who haven't seen these pictures and I'm kind of glossing over it.
That was really awesome. Anybody that wants to investigate the paranormal or actually is taking pictures of a scene, you should take multiples. And you just start click, click, click. And I took a series of 15 pictures. And you could see the light changing before and after. But in number 12. All of a sudden, it wasn't just that the light was dimmer in the hallway. There's somebody behind me. And it was a large person. The thing is, I had a feeling that he was there because I'd been getting multiple things on my ovulus regarding soldiers. And at one time, Civil War soldiers actually stayed there and retired there.
Yeah.
And it was a home, per se. And so that was pretty cool. The thing is, I could hear footsteps, and it's carpeted. So that, again, I was in its time and not mine.
Yeah.
Because it didn't used to have carpet all through it. But there he was, and I got really lucky with that. The hotel has that now. But, I knew he was there. But I was taking pictures in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't in the mirror until he showed up behind me.
Yeah, see, that's what I think is so fantastic. You couldn't get that image, but the mirror got it.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Well, it gives us another idea that even though we're looking directly on a scene, we aren't able to see everything that's there. And this is a way we need to start thinking and allowing ourselves to understand that we sometimes have to use an alternative way of capturing information instead of head on. It has to be in different and novel ways because these things aren't in something in a form that we see. And that's, we'll get into ETs with that. But the other thing I wanted to get into more of was that when you were younger and these things started happening for you, how did you expand your awareness? Was it okay for you to continue to say, I see ghosts, or did you keep it to yourself?
I kept it largely to myself. My mother knew I was seeing things, and she chalked it up to imagination. That's what a parent does when your child is very young and they're saying, you know, there were people in my room last night. Oh, yeah, la, 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 la. Sure there were, you know, that kind of thing. And I kind of kept it to myself. My father really didn't want to hear about it because he was military and dealt, you know, the brass tacks of life.
Yeah.
And I wasn't encouraged, but I wasn't discouraged to have an imagination. I didn't know what to call it. I didn't know what to call it or how to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you could turn on the TV and see the programs that you do now. None of that existed. And I thought largely I was just seeing things in my own head. I didn't realize that it was a reality for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
As I got older, I talked to other people about it, but I got a lot of side eyes. I got a lot of side eyes. People looking at me like, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
move on.
That's really, that's really awesome. And what is wrong with you? But, you know, eventually I was put on medication. So I stuffed everything way down.
Mm-hmm.
My parents thought that I was like very depressed because things affect me so deeply.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that I was put on medication for depression. And so once I figured out I could flush that stuff instead of taking it every day, I kept it to myself, really. I kept it to myself, but in my mind I was thinking, this is really awesome. However this works, okay, I'm good with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't say that I used it in my life until I was in my mid-20s.
Okay, I think that's helpful because for a lot of people, there are still situations and circumstances where this kind of information is frightening. And so what it does with other people in some circumstances is make them uncomfortable. And the only way they can make it go away is to tell you you're crazy or you're odd and you don't belong because they don't know how to approach it. Not only that, if you're seeing things that they aren't, then they don't know how to have a conversation. Because it doesn't exist. So how can we go further? And that needs to change, I think.
Yeah, I think people's minds are beginning to open, but there's a person that used to be a family member of mine, and they said, well, how can that happen to you? I can't do that. And I was like, well, your eyes are closed. I don't, you know, what do you say? I'm sorry, Toots, you don't have it. But, you know, not everybody really knows how to handle it.
Right.
Not everybody actually can understand the depth of what you can do with the information or not do with the information. You know, you can drive yourself nuts with it. I second guess myself all the time.
Yeah, right.
But that's also my investigator stance. You know, if I can't question myself, then can I question anyone? You know, you have to, I look at everything with multiple grains of salt and then go back to it later. I rest my brain. I have to tell you, I rest my brain sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, and over processing things, going, okay, now what was going on here? Did I miss a cue? Is there something I'm projecting instead of receiving this information? Mm-hmm. Did I put more onto it than I needed to? There was one and still one that bothers me that, and it's not as negative, that it's just so fantastic that I can't wrap my mind around it till now or even now. I was walking through the house and my cat, she's a calico, no longer with me, but I'm trying to think probably 2013, somewhere in there. I'm walking through the house. I walk by, she's sitting on a chair and I walk from one room to another. So I see her just briefly as I'm passing by. And she's sitting on the back of a chair looking at me, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, I've got to go get the camera because that's such a perfect pose. And I loved taking pictures of her. She's just gorgeous. I've got a big, huge wall hanging that I've done, and she was my muse. So she's there, and I'm thinking that's so perfect because she's got this green collar, and it's got this, you know, the pink logo on it. Just it really stood out, so I wanted to get that against that calico background. And I'm walking through the hall and going, oh, wait, as I'm caught in mid-thought, she never wore a collar. She refused. I had a Garfield collar I thought was just adorable. She went down in the basement, and any way, shape, or form she could get out of that collar. She was Houdini. And
oh, yeah.
I tried another one. I'm thinking taking a picture of her with this really cool collar and knowing, and I turn back around, and I go back to where I was looking at her. She's in the chair, but not in that position. at the position she would have been at, she would have been had to have standing on the back of the chair, which is impossible. It's like 2 inches, and it wasn't made for anybody. The cat couldn't perch up there when she was kind of mm-hmm. a little hefty. Anyway, so it was about 4 feet tall. And then the second image I have is almost like a Cheshire cat. Something was there, and it was a screen image. That's the way I now think of it. It was a screen image. I was seeing something I could make sense of that wasn't in my normal catalog. There was no way except for me to see it as Chloe, because she was in the chair, but she wasn't on the back of the chair perched looking at me. And then again, that image I have is a Cheshire cat. That is an overlay over the picture of her with the collar. And I'm like, okay, so it's a friendly image, but it's also a little mischievous, saying, do you know what you're looking at? And that's what I've had intuitively, is we can identify things. I'm seeing a spaceship, but I don't know what I'm looking at. That's the only thing. I've given it a label. So I've given it, I'm looking at a cat, but I don't know what I'm looking at, because that wasn't my cat. And I'm just, so that one still bothers me.
Yeah. That's where pareidolia comes in. Your brain wants to know precisely what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have to give up on the idea. We can't know exactly what this is, but we have to settle for, this is something.
Uh-huh.
This is really something, because not everything is in our realm of understanding. How boring would that be if everything was just so black and white, you know? But I have to tell you what first I thought when you told me that just now, I thought she has a spirit guardian. She has some sort of a guardian.
Well, I've got a few.
I've
got a few. I've also had ET stuff. So, and that's telepathic. And they'll give me a heads up on something that's going to happen. And then it happens. So that's my deal of, okay, the only way I can make sense of it is to know that it says, nothing here is what it seems. Pay attention, be open, be aware. It didn't scare me. As a matter of fact, I'm like, and I'm still, every time I think about it, energized, enthusiastic. What the heck really happened? And I could do a hypnotherapy kind of thing, go back and dissect it. I don't want to. I want to keep that open thing of how many ways can I go forward with this? And it just keeps the world wide open, and it keeps me curious, and I'm continuing to look under rocks and open doors and, continue to question, what is it that's happening here, and how much are we really seeing versus what we're missing?
When we shut down our curiosity, we really are limiting our ability to grow. We're kind of taking that away from ourselves, and people are starting to begin to get the whole thing regarding expansion.
Mm-hmm.
People are starting to understand that we have to expand our knowledge, and we have to keep moving forward, or else really we're just sitting around waiting to rust. You know, we're just gathering rust. And dust.
And what I also wanted to say too, because I don't want to gloss over your intuition there, the old magic mystical metaphysical arts, that's your Weebly site, oldmagic.weebly.com, and that you are a medium. You do tarot, you do crystal balls, you do the whole nine yards. So your intuition about what was going on with that is helpful for me to hear, because it validates, I know they're here. And I know they like to play, and they like to give me little tests. And part of it is, sometimes, especially when you're working with the ETs, is a test of ego. And if you humility is a great lesson.
If we think we're going to outsmart extraterrestrials, then we're...
Yeah.
All I can say is we're at the bottom of the food chain there.
Yeah.
I think that's what bothers me too. I think that's what gets to me about that, is because I know a lot of stuff, but I don't know a whole lot about space and things like that. I'm fascinated with it, but I have like this a little bit of a curiosity mixed with a tingling of, I will never really know it all, because I don't think we can. I don't think we're made to know it all. And if we think that we're the only thing out in space, then I think we're dealing with a half a deck. Mm-hmm. I really, I don't, and something that can be every bit as telepathic, well, 10 times as telepathic as me, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Really, it's pretty impressive. And then if you stare at the night sky long enough for, you know, a few years of your life, you start figuring out that it's really big. It's really big out there.
And just beyond that, what we're looking at, the physical plane, it's the non-corporeal, non-physical. This is where, you know, when you get into having the out-of-body experiences or the near-death experiences and you go on these different planes of awareness, of being, of and in some way, shape, or form, interacting and engaging in that space, it's like there's no end to the potential that we have in terms of our own ability to access information, knowledge, awareness, insight that doesn't have anything to do with going to work 9 to 5. It has to do with everything, learning about who am I? What am I capable of? And there are miracles every day because we don't understand where they come from and what all is possible with that other element that you can get a glimpse of in your pictures, which that is where I think this is leading us, is when we have these kinds of insights and that manifestation of reality that says there's more here than you can see.
Exactly.
And so that's what I like about what you're doing, is that with those images and those pictures, you're demonstrating this is real. This is real. On a different plane, this is happening, and we are totally oblivious.
I have to tell you that, like the last time I went to the Crescent Hotel, I took 312 pictures. And going all through them, you know, click, 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 you never hit the delete button. You never throw anything away until you've looked at it 10 different ways, you know, and changed your light filter. And I have one of a big black shadow in the dining room, and everyone says that there's always supposed to be somebody in the corner of the dining room. Well, I didn't even see it. I didn't even see it until I put a filter on it. And there it is, right smack dab in front of my face.
Wow.
A big black outline. But I had looked at that picture how many times? You know, that's just it. And that will illustrate that there's always something going on. You can be sitting, you can be standing in a closet with the door closed, but there's still energy around you. You brought it with you and deposited there, you know. And once you come back to that, you can, it's fingerprints. We leave them all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, I think that's okay. We're going to take a little break here. And this is for the people at the mothership to insert commercials or, you know, PSAs.
Yes, please beam us up for a moment.
Okay, so they're going to do that. In the meantime, I want to come back to the stuff that you were talking about before, too, in terms of people saying, well, I can't see it, and you can see it, so I don't think it's there because you can see it and I can't. And that's kind of what that's implying. But you know what? I can't run a 400-yard dash in 2 seconds. Mm. Well, not that anybody could, but possibly. There's somebody else who can do something I can't. That doesn't mean that that isn't happening. It means that just because I can't do it, then I can appreciate, I might need a little help from somebody who can to get to the next level, to help outline or illuminate, or in some way, shape, or form, give me a piece of the puzzle that will help me go forward. And that's why there is more than one of us here, okay? That's why we have a collective and a whole entire planet full of people who have all sorts of different abilities, and we are consciously connected to all of them. I think that is one of the most powerful things we can begin to learn and appreciate in this diverse and fantastic species called humanity. This is you know, we're in this together. And when we start paying attention to things that other people pick up on, and yes, use discernment. There's a lot of times when the people don't know something and they'll say, well, hey, this is happening. And you have to check twice, get another opinion and test your own intuition on it. But that's why we're here, is to learn from each other, in my opinion. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And there's also a fine line between feeling what you know and knowing that's true because you're feeling it. But then again, you have to be able to stop and look at it and say, okay, now why could I be picking this up? Is it me or is it something real? Am I taking this on myself or is it something that's actually happening? And if you can't let go in between these awesome occasions, then you're fooling yourself. You become hyper-vigilant, and there's nothing worse than somebody who's like, oh, God, they're all around me all the time. You know, it's exhausting for one thing.
Yes,
and another thing is that when that's when people start saying, yellow, you're obsessed, and this might not be good.
Right.
You know, you have to know when to flip the switch and when not, you know, and in between, there's stuff happening. So get over it. Get used to it. You know,
and it's not all about you. That's the whole thing. It isn't all about you. I remember going on a ghost event in a local area, Lawrence, in the college town. So a lot of activity there. Also Civil War activity. Just a ton.
I'm very familiar with Lawrence. Yes.
So part of that was that one of the people, a younger person on this tour, who's also intuitive, was absolutely being bombarded. And then they said, well, oh, she's always like this wherever we go. I'm thinking, this isn't a good thing. This is actually a warning sign that you need to shut down and develop some boundaries and some protection. Because for one thing, when you're that open, you're being drained. And so it comes along with some health issues that that could be avoided when you learn how to do some kind of psychic protection. And that's a word, you know, the language for this is still dicey because everybody has their own interpretation when you use certain words. But when you learn to ground yourself and center and put a boundary, a shield around you so you don't take everything in all the time. You just kind of reflect it. So you're not doing anything negative. You're not pouncing. You're not going in and saying, clear the space. You're going in and saying, aha, I'm learning. I'm looking. I'm doing an assessment. Is there some way I can? Why am I here? Can I help? Those kinds of things. And then you'll get more information.
Yes. Absolutely. A person that has any sort of abilities needs to learn how to ground. And grounding does not mean skeptical. It doesn't mean disbelief, and it doesn't mean not agreeing or understanding or being open. That's not what it means. That's when you flip the switch that turns the I'm open 24/7 off. You know, you're basically... And it may sound crazy, but I actually have signs in my house that says the psychic medium is on duty. Please come in. The psychic medium is off duty. Please stay away or, you know, get the hell out.
Yeah,
but
I'm sleeping.
I literally, it's my boundary. It's my boundary. Yeah. And if I don't do that, my God, my thoughts would never be my own. I mean, it would be. It'd be like being on a tilt-a-whirl inside my head. You know, it would just be too much.
Well,
and I do find myself still, after all this time, having difficulties turning off when I know that there's someone around me that, like, needs me or could benefit from something I might have to tell them. But I'm not the Long Island medium. You know, I don't run up on people and say, hey, you got dead people with you.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right. That's ethics.
It's their boundaries. You know, it's their boundaries. I think they'll find you if they need to find you.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. They come next door, knocking on your door. Hey, will you tell my neighbor?
Yeah.
You know,
that happens to me all the time with missing people.
Well, and
okay.
Same thing. There was one point where I had somebody who really wanted to solve an issue related to the loss of a relative, and I'm being very vague about this, okay? Because anyway, the problem was that the relative had been involved in some things that this person didn't need to know about. Period, because it would put them in harm's way. And so the thing was that that information from the deceased relative was, it's okay, this isn't your deal. And I was in a way that made sense to that person, able to give them a specific sentence that made it very clear it was coming from the deceased. And I had images that went with that said, this was a karmic thing. And the way that it happened, there were some individuals involved who were all participating in this scenario. And this person died, and it was tragic, but at the same time, it wasn't somebody else's problem to deal with. Mm-hmm. It was a piece of that puzzle that they were involved in. And for us, you know, these things, we want neat and tidy solutions. And if somebody's guilty, we want to send them to prison or punish them or do something. And sometimes it isn't about that bigger picture. It's between those souls. And they've agreed mm-hmm. to incarnate for a specific mm-hmm. purpose of learning from that role. And that's what I learned in doing this, is that we're not always going to get the answers. And sometimes it's somebody else's trauma that they have to go through. And that's part of it. And if they heal from that, that's a success. That's the deal. It's like, it isn't meant to stop you, to defeat you, to put you down. It's meant to help you expand your awareness and to grow your mm-hmm. compassion. Been there, done that. Ah, I don't need to cast a stone. I've done this.
You know, you just about put a cap on 3 different cases I've worked on with the living. It's kind of heartbreaking, because you want to give them answers, and you can give them some answers. You can give them some resolution. You can give them guidance. I like to pride myself in being able to make someone entertain a different thought process, and thereby it'll give them a measure of peace. But I've dealt with multiple family members of murdered people. Mm-hmm. And I've also dealt with people who died by their own misadventure.
Yeah.
And the family wants to think that someone else did this. And it's kind of hard when you have to tell them, listen, I have to say this to you. And that's when I get the, do you want me to tell you everything?
Right.
And then I'll say, he's saying, I'm surprised it took them this long to get me. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and it's not what I want to tell them. It's what I'm driven to tell them.
Right.
And I will tell you that when I really plug in the deceased people that are in spirit now, if they want to be heard, I don't deliver the message the way they want me to deliver the message, I will hear about it.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
They'll be sitting on the end of my bed. At
really? You're not going to get any sleep.
Yeah. Really? You couldn't tell them the truth?
Uh-huh.
So I really have to tell people, honestly, I will tell you the truth. Do you want me to tell you the truth? Because I can fluff your pillows if you want me to, but I'm not a pillow fluffer.
Right.
I have to deliver a message, and I have to do it with compassion and foresight.
Well, there's also the other end of, with the spirit, you can say, this isn't, I'm not the channel for this. I respect and I honor you, and I mm-hmm. have sympathy, but I am not going to deliver this message. Mm-hmm. And then end it, you know, and say, this isn't something I can do. Because it's also ethics, your ethics. Anybody who does this has the right to say, no, I am mm-hmm. not the person for this. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, you know, from either side, they can hound you. But the other thing, too, is if they want to get a message through, then they have other ways of doing that. And mm-hmm. their people will find a way. But mm-hmm. we can't solve all of the problems. We have to be also honoring of our own energy and our own awareness that this isn't going to go well for me to... Once you open this door and you have these kinds of issues, sometimes there's a pattern, and you have the welcome mat out for a certain mm-hmm. element, and they go, oh, hey, this one's open. And so you have to be prepared for that in your own space to mirror what you're bringing through. And that's why there are certain cases I don't want to go anywhere near. I don't want those cases.
It's like, good, you know? God. Yeah. I did have something pop up recently. It took place in another state, and I won't say names, but it took place in a different state, not far from here, a few hours. But the living person that wanted to contact the dead, and I did, someone that was really important to them, they were killed in a ritualistic fashion. Mm. And it was the kind of... it was blood, guts, and gore. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell her, you need to drop this. This is dangerous. You need to stop this. You need to step back, let law enforcement take control of this.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, it would be unethical for me to tell you that another person is to blame. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. I won't do that. And I'm really sorry. but I don't want to put you in peril, and God knows I don't want to either.
Right, right.
And she wanted someone to blame. Mm-hmm. She wanted someone to blame instead of the person that was engaged with people that are dangerous.
Predators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a predatory.
I didn't want to hurt her, but I had to be honest with her. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I want these people to show up, you know, and in my energy field, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, but I had to tell her for her own good. You need to let powers that be take control of this. You cannot fix this or change it.
Well, and I think that's, you know, that highlights just how important some of this is to have boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want that hot rock on my back, you know.
Okay.
I didn't want to carry that around.
And we're going to switch gears, the ET thing. All right. You talk about that. Have you had experience with the ETs? Aliens, other, you know, other interdimensional beings, transdimensionals, there are different words for them, but they're all not in our physical space for the most part.
I mentioned earlier about watching the night sky, how important that can be, and what that lends to me is that everything is so much bigger. You can't just say, oh, energy, because when you look up into the night sky, into the space, it doesn't have anything at all to do with human energy. It's too much bigger than that. It's just way bigger than that. And I lived in Colorado, and I had I still have my husband. and he worked for the Forest Service. I still got him.
Yeah.
And 42 years. Anyway, he worked for the Forest Service, and we could go out and basically get past the locked gate and sit on the side of it was this huge cavernous, the Colorado River ran through the bottom. I don't know what to call it.
Wow.
Anyway, we're up on this cliff, and all you can hear the water down below, but basically all you could hear was the wind in the trees. And when in Colorado, you hear the wind in the trees all the time. Mm-hmm. When you're in the forest, it makes that
beautiful, swishing
low noise. And we went out there, we took a bottle of wine, and I think we took one sip of the bottle of wine and woke up the next day.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, hello and goodbye. And there was no reason for us to both actually kind of pass out and wake up the next day. But that's what we did. So, okay, maybe we shouldn't be here. You know, we are behind the lock gate. It was on Sunday. It was a Saturday night. And within about 24 hours, I started feeling like I had something alive under my skin, on my back. It was making me nuts. Imagine a baggie with a cockroach inside of it, and he's trapped, but he's going in circles around and around and around.
Okay, that's a great image.
yeah,
that sets
the
tone.
Isn't that fabulous?
Okay.
But it just literally felt like something was crawling under my skin, mm-hmm. going in a circle. The funky thing is that my husband had the very same thing start happening to him.
Okay.
In the very same spot, in the middle of my back, right towards my right shoulder blade. And that's where his was, too. Mm-hmm. And it was maddening because that had never happened to us prior to that. And it went on for about 30 years, about 30, 35 years. And at one point, my back was itching so badly that I started losing pigment right there mm-hmm. from scratching it. And eventually I got out a tiny piece of something that looked like a splinter. I mean, very, very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, this came out of my back. There's something, you know, I started thinking that we had implants a long time ago, but you don't tell people that.
No.
Larry Flaxman, for one, thought I was out of my mind. But I got something out of my back, and I was going to get a piece of tape. And because I knew this had to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I went back with the tape, and it was gone. I got out a magnet and I'm looking around, I'm trying to pick up something, and I could never find it again. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened to my husband. He got a piece of something out of my bag and realized that it felt like it was vibrating a little bit in his fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was gone. We had no way to keep it. I can't remember exactly what he did,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, get some tape. And it just kind of disappeared once it came. I know it sounds crazy. Doesn't it sound crazy? But it still to this day bothers me, not as badly as it did.
Yeah.
Truthfully, when it does bother me, it's when I'm not working.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm working, it won't bother me.
So it's still there.
So it's kind of like, are you relaying information or are you sitting there like a bump on a log? You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't respond to me when I'm a bump on a log, but when I'm working, it bothers me. And I've been hypnotized and they told me that I had said they said, what is in your back? And I said, a silver splinter. And they said, what's it for? And I said, to relay information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tracking.
And I don't know, but I believe if I really put myself in that position again and sat on the edge of that canyon overnight watching the sky,
mm-hmm.
then I think, I don't know, maybe something would happen again. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's the unknown, but the belief that the unknown is real.
Well, but also in this particular evidence issue, that might make a little more belief.
Yeah, if I had the tiny little fragments, it's about the width and not the length, but the width of a cat whisker. I mean, it was just so insignificant,
mm-hmm.
and tiny. But thinking while you're trying to dig this thing out of your back,
yeah.
you know, and then you find that and then bam, it's gone. But other people have said the same things too, that any evidence would just disappear.
Okay, mine is along that line. It wasn't that small, but it happened after I started interviewing people who've had UFO experiences, which I thought was okay. I started interviewing, and there was one specific, I was going to a UFO conference. I can't remember if it was 2010 or somewhere around in there. I talked with Paula Harris, and it was the Laughlin, she was advertising that, but they were doing something in Texas. And I decided, well, I can make the Texas one because my husband has relatives there, so we'll just go down there and do this. But my spirit guides were really, really right beside me and instructed me to only do certain things and only connect with certain people and stay there a certain amount of time. So I thought, okay, I must be getting into into perilous waters here. So I listened. But part of the thing in association with that, saw a huge, beautiful white owl flying above us as we're walking the dogs. Ooh. Down there, absolutely gorgeous. I'm like, wow, I had no idea there were large white owls in Texas. Okay, saw that.
You know what they say about owls.
Yeah, I know.
And ETs.
Right.
I mean, uh-huh. yeah
and shamans. Now, okay, I've had an experience doing some stuff with interviewing about the shamans in South America, and then there was a giant owl, big owl, flew over the house, and I knew he was checking on me. So okay, with this though, I had this weird thing right around my collarbone that was like a cyst.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, what the heck? And it would move. And it was just annoying more than anything else. I didn't notice anything, really didn't pay any attention, except it was, I knew the time that it appeared was after I'd started, there was a certain interview. I think it was with, I'm trying to remember, Martin, Denise Stoner and Kathleen Martin. And then this thing going to that conference. And so I thought, well, I must have come under the radar, or at least a little bit more. I'm aware of this happening. And that when I focused on it, I wanted it to leave. And I finally got so irritated. I think it was with me about 6 months. I thought about, I'm just going to take a razor blade and cut this out because I don't want to see that's how desperate and how illogical I was. I was just really, really annoyed. I didn't understand it, and it moved, and I had a bruise there. And so when I finally thought that, the next morning it was gone. completely.
Don't you hate that?
I thought, wow. My thought was that they knew that I was serious, even though I wasn't really sure I was going to do something uh-huh. that drastic. I would probably uh-huh. go to a dermatologist, but at the same time, and I didn't know Roger Lear. I didn't know the other guy who's taken his place, who does all the alien implant stuff at that point. And I didn't really uh-huh. think that's what it was. I honestly just was annoyed that this cyst could be so flexible that it would move around from, you know, it was like within uh-huh. a 3-inch radius that it could move. And I was just annoyed. I thought, I know it's not cancer. It just, it's, you know, this is.
That was your bug in the bag. That was your bug under the Saran wrap. Really, if you think about it, it's trapped there, yes. but it's not holding still and it's making me cray cray.
All you I'm know, doing is literally. Thinking Keanu in The Matrix, you know,
when, oh,
when they
I
pull
love,
that little
I
fish
know.
Out of him. Okay.
Or Keanu in War of the Worlds. Or what? No, that was The Day the Earth Stood Still or something like that. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm one of my favorite movies. But, you know, you said something about shamans. And where we were, it was the Manitou Forest in right outside Colorado Springs. And, well, a whole huge area around there. And my husband worked there, and there were multiple Native American caves mm-hmm. that they discovered that had artifacts and markings on the walls, and they basically walled them off to keep them intact. But that was a very large area that was prone to Native Americans, and generations and generations ago, the Native Americans understood that extraterrestrials were things long before we did.
Yeah.
Long before we did.
Yeah, their culture actually accepts it yep. and treats this is yep. normal. You know, you guys are clueless and good luck, but hey, eventually yeah. you'll figure it out.
Well, they saw these people as gods.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
these
yeah.
people. They saw the aliens as gods because they were smart enough to realize they're coming from out there, mm-hmm. you know, to us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I find that fascinating that those cultures were so open, and then we had to shut it all down probably because it wasn't, didn't strike us as biblical.
Well, and you couldn't control it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if it, mm-hmm. that's the other thing about this. It is not under our control, which makes it intimidating.
Oh,
and
yeah.
so just by ignoring it and avoiding it and denying it, then there's for a while, this is the little buffer period we have of the ignorance is bliss. And it's
yeah.
also dangerous because you have people who then go crazy because they think it's happening and it's not real. And it shouldn't be real. And there's something wrong with him. It's like, no, you're a little bit more tuned in, a little bit more informed. So go with that and trust. So that's where we are kind of in the middle, jumping that hurdle of allowing other people to tell us what we're experiencing is completely fiction when we've got little indications that it's completely beyond fiction that we have ever written. It's so much more advanced than we have begun to fathom that we are doing ourselves a disservice by not getting together and connecting dots. I interviewed a guy recently, mm-hmm. John Foster, UFOs is his website. And mm-hmm. when he draws the pictures of the ETs, aliens, other beings coming out of clouds, coming out of fog, coming out of haze, which to me doesn't suggest they're coming from Pluto or Neptune or, you know, wherever you want to say. They're here mm-hmm. and able to enter into our space from whatever timeline, from whatever plane they are on, and they can, if they choose, become physical or not, because they are not dense the way we are. So they're traveling mm-hmm. in ways we haven't yet begun to figure out. And mm-hmm. that, to me, says that our science has a lot of catching up to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that sacred sites are very often an object of fascination for extraterrestrials. The thing about that... sitting on top of the cliff
yes.
that you looked over a canyon. My husband also, like soon after that, looked down at his feet. He thought it was glass. You know, who the hell has been up here breaking glass? Picked it up, and it was a quartz arrowhead.
Ah.
It was clear quartz arrowhead.
Yes.
And we've been told that it was more than likely ceremonial
mm-hmm.
and that place had to have had a sacred aspect to it.
Yeah.
And that kind of, it made sense. It made perfect sense. Well, why wouldn't it be like a real place of importance you know, because something crazy happened to us. But look what happened here, right at his feet, you know. Of course, his boss was like, I want that, I want that. My husband's like, hell no. But, I mean, he has it to this day. And we were telling this story to a friend of ours just last Christmas. And it's like, wow, but that kind of makes sense. Yes. And it does when you look at the bigger picture.
Well, it's a gift. It's a gift because, for one thing, things like that, you don't always get to keep them. If you're not supposed to have it, it does disappear. And the quartz is a huge, huge clue. When I went to the Board Camp Crystal Mine, which is a wonderful place to go collect crystals, they have a lot of paranormal activity, and some of it is Sasquatch related, which I didn't know until after having been there and experienced it. But when they had their sightings, they've connected it to ET UFO type things too as well. And the Native Americans who've been there have blessed the space and put, I believe it's a ceremonial, it's a sacred, what do they call it? It's like a maze. Anyway, and I'm blanking on the word right now, but there's so much going on there. And the big thing that is a connection is quartz. And that's also, there's another place in Canada where they had some incredible activity. And the quartz is, you can see this along the top of the ground, this wonderful line of quartz that's just there. And I believe they use quartz for things that we haven't yet begun to figure out. That quartz is an information storage unit. I've done that myself, programmed a piece of quartz to help with something else and went back 6 months later and remembered the sentence that I had put into that crystal. Those kinds of things we haven't yet figured out. That quartz is not, it's living, okay? That it has an energy component that is active and engaged. And when we get to the next level in our thinking, we'll be able to deal with that on a conscious level and just acknowledge that we are learning right now. I appreciate your time. I'm so glad you're able to talk about this.
Oh, well, thank you. There's caves that I fantasize about going in because I just know that it'll hum. It'll just hum. There's some places in Arkansas and other places, of course, but that Arkansas is famous for its quartz content. And it's the same thing with buildings that are made from granite. Granite is the one of the big bases for quartz. And it's the stone tape theory. That it holds vibration, not just the vibration, but it holds energies and thoughts and everything. It's like a big sponge, but it's just really cool looking, you know. So you're attracted to it for the looks, but the life in it.
Yes.
It really feels alive.
The resonance.
And vibrationally, you can feel it from your toes up, you know, if you're open to that kind of thing. And I'm kind of a quartz rock junkie, actually. I have buckets full of different stones, but my very favorites are the quartz and the smoky quartz because they hum. They hum to me in my hands.
They talk.
Yeah.
Okay. We gotta go. I set my timer to make sure I wouldn't take you to the outer limits far enough that we couldn't get back in time.
Well, I really appreciate talking to you. It's been great.
Thank you. Well, we'll connect again. But right now this will be available for people to listen to anytime 24/7 when it's convenient. And so they can connect with you, oldmagic.weebly.com, Old Magic Metaphysical Arts, and Facebook as well.
Oh, yes. I get a lot of contact through Facebook.
Okay. Marianne Pedrowski, thank you. Thank you. We'll stay in touch because there's so much going on right now. It's nice to connect dots with somebody who's also feeling these things and saying, hey, the truth is here, right here.
The wonky of us must stay together in this. We have to band together.
Yes, yes. So, hey, thank you, and have a fantastic time with your next slew of clients.
Okay. Yes, and I'm sure the slew will come. Thank you very much, Wendy. It's been nice.
Thank you. Take care.